Hello, and welcome to this podcast from the First Baptist Church in Grapevine, Texas. Our prayer is that God will use this message to draw you into a meaningful, joy-filled relationship with Him. Thanks for listening.
Someone once said, "Don't put all your eggs in one basket." Mark Twain wrote many years ago in his book called The Tragedy of Pudd'nhead Wilson, "The fool has said, don't put all your eggs in one basket. But the wise man has said, put all your eggs in one basket and watch that basket." Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what we as Christians have done. All of our hope, all of our future, all of our life, we have placed on this one event, that Jesus Christ is indeed alive. Christmas is awesome. Easter is revolutionary. And all around the world today, pastors and worship leaders are standing up, and they are declaring He is risen, and the congregation follows by saying, "He is risen indeed. He is risen." He is risen. Let's do that a little bit better. He is risen. He is risen. If you have your Bible, I want you to look with me in Luke chapter 24. We're going to look at a story after the Easter event. In fact, we're going to look at two men who are walking home from Jerusalem on Easter Sunday. Now, one thing you're going to notice about Easter Sunday is that these men had been in Jerusalem. They had seen all of the events that had occurred, but yet they were walking home and they were sad. Now, understand, these were folks who have embraced Jesus Christ. They had hoped, they had believed that Jesus Christ was indeed the Messiah. But in this passage today, and we'll begin in verse 13, we'll see that something happened to cause them to lose hope. Now, I have one little Easter egg up here. And inside this Easter egg, I have placed a symbol of hope for me. And we'll look at that in a little while. Hope is a strange thing, isn't it? Some of you may be thinking, "I hope that the Texas Rangers make it to the World Series." That's good. Or maybe, finally, Jerry Jones will hire a general manager for the Dallas Cowboys. Good for you. Keep hoping, right? Some of you are thinking, "If only this pastor will preach a short sermon this Easter," right? That's one level of hope, but there's another level of hope, and that is, "Man, I sure hope I get that job I applied for." Or, "I sure hope my children will return back to the faith." You see, hope is mysterious, isn't it? Hope is that thing that if we lose it, we lose it all. These men in this story today had lost hope. Listen to what had happened. It's Easter Sunday, Luke chapter 24, verse 13. "And behold, two of them were going that very day." What day? Easter. "To a village named Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all the things which had taken place." Now, this helps us understand they were in Jerusalem. They had very well walked with Jesus. Maybe they were there on Palm Sunday and they saw everything that was happening. They saw that Jesus was gone to a mock trial. He was beaten. He was hung on a cross. And then they saw that Jesus had died. They had seen these events. Verse 15. "And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes prevented them from recognizing him. And he said to them, 'What are these words that you're exchanging with one another as you were walking?' And they stood still, looking sad." Wait a second. Did they not know that Jesus was going to raise from the dead? In fact, in the book of Mark chapter 9, we read that Jesus looked them in the face and said, "Disciples, I'm going to die and I'm going to rise from the dead." So if Jesus is alive, why are they sad? Verse 18. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days?" I just think that's so funny. They're asking Jesus, "Hey, did you know what happened to Jesus?" They had no idea. Verse 19, and he said to them, "What things?" Man, if that does not point out the sense of humor of our Savior. Come on. Fill me in. What happened in Jerusalem over the weekend? Right? Verse 19, in the middle there it says, and they said to him, "The things about Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it's the third day since these things had happened." Do you get the picture of what's going on? It's Easter Sunday. And here are these men walking down the road about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And as they're walking along, Jesus appears to them. They don't know it's him. But as they're talking, he sees the sadness in their faces. They begin to recount the story of what had happened in Jerusalem. And then they made that terrible statement, "We were hoping." At that moment, they had lost hope in Jesus. They had heard, perhaps they had understood some of the things that Jesus had taught, but somehow they missed that he would be raised from the dead, and because of that, hope was lost. I have to tell you, there is nothing like losing hope. You have this expectation, anticipation is built up. Man, you're thinking, this is it, this is it, this is it. And then, bam, a kick in the stomach. Any of that ever happened to you? Any of you ever have a moment in your life where you were so hopeful and, man, even in God, you believed, "Oh, God, this is it. You're going to do it." And then, bam, somehow God allows you to have that kick in the stomach and you lose hope. That's why some people wander away from church and from God. Because somehow they had this hope that things would work out a certain way. But then life dealt them a series of blows and they said, "Well, I've lost hope in Jesus." Let me tell you something. If you've ever lost hope in Jesus, I have great news for you. You're not alone, because these men on Easter Sunday, for that moment, had lost hope. And they were walking home. Look in verse 21 and following again. "But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it has been the third day since these things happened. But also some women among us amazed us. When they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the woman also had said, but him they did not see." Get the picture. The only thing we know on this Easter Sunday afternoon at this moment is the body of Jesus is not there. And I have news for you. The body's still not there 2,000 years later. That's all we know, though, at this point, is some people have shown up. Did they see a vision? We don't know. What happened to the body? If you looked over in John chapter 20, some believed that the enemies of Jesus had taken that body and hid it away so that later, whenever others are rejoicing, "He's alive, he's alive," all they had to do is simply take the body of Jesus and say, "You fools, look, he's still dead." By the way, I'm still waiting for those guys to show up with the body of Jesus. Where are they? If the enemies of Jesus had stolen the body, don't you think by 2,000 years later, somebody would have come up with the body of Jesus and said, here he is. You Christians look silly now. The enemies couldn't have stolen the body of Jesus, or they would have quickly presented that body and said, now, the end of Christianity. But no one did. Another thing that they wondered, though, did you see it says the women amazed us? Also in chapter 24, it says in verse 10 and 11, this is Luke 24, now they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James. Also the other women with them were telling these things to the disciples. So they had seen a vision of angels, right? And they had said, look, something has happened. The body is gone. But these words appeared to them as nonsense, foolishness, and they would not believe them. So the tomb is empty. Some people think maybe just the ladies are delusional, right? They're sad. They go to the tomb is empty. And so they're kind of freaking out a little bit, saying, man, I don't know what happened. What could have happened just now? And then they saw visions of angels. They go to the apostles, and the apostles literally said, you ladies are crazy. And then they went to look for themselves. The reality is this. The tomb was empty. These men had lost hope. So Jesus decided to have a little conversation with them. If you look in verse 25, and he said to them, oh, foolish men, unlearned and slow to heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? And then check out what Jesus did. Can you imagine this? Then beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Now I want you to get a picture of what just happened. So Jesus is walking along with these men. They have no idea that it's him. All they know at this moment is that the tomb is empty. And as they're talking, the Bible says that Jesus goes back and takes the Old Testament and shares with them the truth about the Messiah. He went back to Moses. I wonder if Jesus simply said to them, I am the Passover lamb. Moses talked about this. I am the one, Jesus said, I am the one who would give his life as a sacrifice, as an atonement for sin. Then maybe he went to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7. David talks about that God had shared with him that his throne would be eternal. That means the Messiah would come through the line of David. Then maybe Jesus took a moment and said, well, wait, let's talk about Isaiah for a second. And we love these verses, especially this time of year. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Listen to this. Surely our griefs he himself bore, our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. For he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon Jesus. And by his scourging, we are healed. Verse 10, but the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief, if he would render himself as a guilt offering. Listen to these words. He will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hands. Now, so many people miss this part of Isaiah's prophecy. We understand that Jesus was going to die on the cross, but in verse 10, it says, he will prolong his days. You can circle that in your Bible, put a star next to it, and see that the prophecy of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is in the Old Testament. That not only would he die on a cross, but his days would be prolonged. In other words, the Messiah will die, and then he will be raised up again. And I imagine that Jesus is telling these guys the story, not even to think about all of the things that had happened day after day through the life of Jesus, all these prophecies written hundreds of years ago. And as they were written, they were fulfilled. Does that convince you, though? I mean, we've heard these stories. We've heard of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We've heard the stories of Jesus and how Jesus would die on a cross, and we celebrate that. But what would it take for that belief that Jesus is alive to go from here to here? Some people would say, you know what, if I could have just seen Jesus, if I could just see him, guess what? That's exactly what the disciples were saying. You're in the same boat. Man, if only I could have seen Jesus, you know, where is he? And these guys are saying the same thing. I don't know where Jesus is. You know, they say he's alive, but I haven't seen him. And maybe that's you. Man, if I could have just seen Jesus. It's funny to me that there are some who say that Jesus doesn't exist because they've never seen him. Now, I want you to think about that. How many of you in this room, please lift your hand, has ever met Abraham Lincoln? Then he never existed. Because you've never seen him? Well, but you know what, Pastor? That's so foolish because, you know, there is history written down about Abraham Lincoln. Yes. And historical documents about Jesus dying on a cross and being raised from the dead. Yes, but there are hundreds of witnesses that say Abraham Lincoln was the president, 16th president of the United States. Yes, and there were hundreds of witnesses in that day that saw Jesus and said, yes, he is risen. Isn't it interesting that we deny the existence of a God just because it seems so crazy to believe? But it's so remarkable because it took something so remarkable to save us. And that we don't see Jesus with our eyes, we can believe the oral tradition, the written tradition. And ladies and gentlemen, one more time, let me remind you, the tomb is still empty. So, let's go back to the passage. They had lost hope. Jesus teaches them the truth. Verse 28, they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going further. Love that. Jesus is walking along. Hey, we'll see you guys later. No, wait. But they urged him, saying, stay with us, for it's getting toward evening. The day is now nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. And when he had reclined at the table with them, he took bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he, boom, vanished out of their sight. Man, just at that moment, I mean, at that moment, all they would have had to do is realize, man, it's Jesus. And what would they have done? Who knows? Maybe they would have grabbed him. Maybe they would have fallen at his feet. But the moment he revealed himself to them, Jesus is gone. And listen to these words. They said to each other, verse 32, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, the Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon. At that moment, they put all their eggs in one basket. At that moment, all of their hope, all of their dreams, the hope had been restored. Isn't it interesting that during that time of explanation and while they were with Jesus, they realized there was some nudging going on in their heart, but they couldn't explain it? Just like what's going on in your heart today. You see, when we testify the truth of God, the Holy Spirit of God takes those words and breaks right into the heart of those who need to receive him. You know, today we could have casually walked up to Easter, and it's a great day to be here, and I'm so glad you've come to be a part of this service today. But you can't walk casually to the tomb of Jesus. It'll change your life because he is either dead or he is alive. There is no middle ground. And maybe the Holy Spirit is tugging on a heart today. You sense that inside and you're thinking, man, I don't know what it is, but there's that anxiety. There's something inside of me saying, wait a second. he really is alive. There's something stirring within me that shows that. That's what happened in the lives of these guys. And because of that, they put all their eggs in one basket. He is risen. So what does that mean to us? On the back of your bulletin, we put four little points so you wouldn't have to take notes and you could just remember. All of these are based in 1 Corinthians 15. I want to encourage Christians today. Hear the word of the Lord. Because he is risen, these are things that we can hold on to. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 19, he says, because he is risen, my life is not futile. Verse 19, if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. However, because he is risen, we have hope. I heard a definition of hope that in the world's eyes, hope is, well, I hope maybe it sort of kind of will happen. But with God, I heard a pastor say this, hope is a done deal yet to come. With God, it's going to happen. If you have hope in Christ, we know that it's going to happen. It is a done deal yet to come. And because of that, we can have purpose in our life. If Christ is not risen from the dead, what is life about? It's futile. It's pointless. But because Christ is risen, my life is not futile. I can have purpose. I can have hope for my life. The second thing I want you to see in verse 17, my faith is not foolish. And if Christ has been raised, your faith is worthless and you're still in your sins. But since he is raised from the dead, my faith is not foolish. Now listen to this. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the assurance or the substance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. We have hope in our life. Is not futile. Our faith is not foolish because Christ is risen from the dead, and so hope is a done deal yet to come. Now, many years ago, when Christy and I were dating, Valentine's Day rolled around. You know, Valentine's Day is an important night for us guys, right? We need to do this one right, get all the right things. Well, this would have been our first Valentine's Day together. We had been dating for, I guess, just over 3 months. Well, one of Christy's great friends, Latricia, said, I bet he's going to propose tonight. Now, in hindsight, I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Wow. Well, anyway, he's gonna propose tonight, Christy. I know he's going to do it. Tonight is that night. Oh, I'm so excited. Whenever you get home, you let me know. Whatever time of the night it is, I want to know because tonight is the night Doug is going to propose to you. I found out later, Christy told me that she was kind of hopeful that it would happen, but was just kind of cautious. Well, as you can imagine, we had a wonderful dinner, a wonderful evening. I took her home and left with no proposal. But you know what's interesting? I had already purchased the ring. It was a done deal yet to come. It was going to happen, just not that night. See, with Christ, our life is not futile. And we can understand because he has risen from the dead, that according to God's word in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, my faith is not foolish. But also in this passage, my sin is not fatal. The end of verse 17 says, you're still in your sins. You realize that if Christ isn't risen from the dead, we still have to bear the weight and judgment of our sins. God's word says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. It's funny to me how some people like to change the word sin and don't want to look at that so that we can be encouraged, right? We need to encourage one another. Don't say that we're all sinners. But yet, if you look in the mirror, every one of us would agree there's something messed up going on right there. Right? We all understand when we stop listening to the talking heads around us, I've got issues. However, the wages of those sins is death. But if Jesus is risen, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Whatever you have done in your life, the resurrection of Christ says you can be forgiven. Whatever it is. Your life isn't futile. Everything that's going on in your life can have purpose. We can know that that sin in our life can be forgiven. The last thing I want you to see in this verse is in verse 18, that my death is not final. Then those who have fallen asleep, if Christ isn't risen, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. I don't know what you're hoping for, but I can tell you this. If Christ had not risen from the dead, it would be a challenge to find a faith to hold on to. You ever thought about that? What religion would I be if Jesus were really dead? What would I believe? What would I hold on to? The reality is, history bears up the truth that the tomb is empty, and because of that, our death is not final. And those who have gone before us and are in heaven today, for those of us who are in Christ, because he is risen, we will see them again. Because of that, and according to Scripture, my life is not futile. My faith isn't foolish. My sin isn't fatal. And my death isn't final. He is risen. I read a story a few years ago about a third grade Sunday school teacher in a Methodist church. And the Sunday school teacher wrote this story in Leadership Magazine and talked about how one day they decided the Sunday after Easter to take a bunch of these little Easter eggs that were left over and take them to this Bible study class for the third graders. He had a project for them. And as he was in there, he said, "I have a special thing that I want you to do today." Now, in his class, there was a little boy named Philip. And Philip had Down syndrome. Philip was different. He didn't mean to be, but he was. And everybody knew it. But everybody learned to get along with Philip because he was a nice kid. Well, on this certain day, the teacher got all of these eggs and said, "All right, I want you to go out and find something that represents new life. Go out anywhere outside. I want you to come back and bring those eggs to me, and we're going to talk about what you found." And so all these third graders were excited, man. They grabbed their little plastic egg. They said, "This is going to be amazing." So they got this egg and they ran outside. After a few minutes, they all came in. They were so proud. This teacher's sitting on the floor. They take all these eggs and put them down in front of him. They cannot wait for him to reveal what is inside of those eggs. And so the teacher takes the first egg, and it's a flower. And he says, "Wow, that's perfect. That absolutely represents new life." Takes another egg. A leaf. Yes. The green, the life, the springtime. That is perfect. "Man, I am so proud of you for doing that." Another one got real ambitious. He opens the egg and there's a butterfly. New life. She went on and opened a few more eggs, and then she opened another. And it was empty. And she said, "Oh no, did somebody forget?" And the kids started laughing. "Oh man, who forgot? This is crazy. What in the world? Come on, it was a simple assignment." And Philip said, wait, that's mine." And some of the kids said, "Philip, you're so silly. Don't you know the assignment? You always mess things up. Why in the world couldn't you have found something that represented life, new life?" And he said, "But wait, I did. The egg is empty. Just like the tomb is empty. He is risen. He is risen." And ladies and gentlemen, I put all my hope in one basket, and my egg is empty. Just like the tomb, And because of that, I know that my life is not futile. Do you know that? Do you know that your faith, Christian, is not foolish? Do you know that your sin is not fatal? And do you know that your death is not final? 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, "But now Christ has been raised from the dead." And because of that, we put all our hope in one basket. And we keep watching that empty tomb. And I have a feeling it's going to stay empty. He is risen.
Thanks for listening to the First Baptist Church Grapevine podcast. I'd like to invite you to join us for worship this Sunday in either our classic service or our contemporary service. Our church is located in downtown Grapevine, Texas, in the heart of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. For more information about our church, along with service times and directions, visit us online at www.fbcgrapevine.com.